So movie review time. We are headed to the comedy world today because we didn't want to keep it so heavy. We'd gone Children of Men and then Reservoir Dogs. So we thought, yeah, let's maybe hose the blood off the walls here for a week. And we'll do that with The Other Guys, the 2010 buddy cop movie directed by Adam McKay. That is Will Ferrell's writing partner. If you don't know, they are the group that also brought us Anchorman, brought us Talladega Nights, and brought us Step Brothers, just to give you a sense for the other big time movies that they did.
I mean, what an insane four film run for Adam McKay as the writer and director of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Anchorman, Talladega Nights, Step Brothers, and The Other Guys?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hell of a run. Hell of a run. Apparently there was a discussion, they were out to eat, the three of them. Never knew about this in the movie. So, as we always say, spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie and all that, and you can come back at 2:25. But I had not seen this movie, but it wasn't spoiled for me. About Mark Wahlberg, he's the cop, and he is, Terry Hoyts is his name. And his big secret, his big thing as to why the police world has turned their back on him is that during the World Series at one point, he inadvertently shot Derek Jeter.
He's a biracial angel, Chad.
Oh, my God.
The Yankee Clipper. Because you hear them call him Yankee Clipper a couple of times early on. And they don't let that one hang. They actually get to that pretty quickly in the film where it's him in the tunnel telling Jeter to stop. Doesn't realize it's Jeter, of course. Hey, stop. Oh, my God. The guy had a bat. Ends up shooting him. And Jeter, who has earbuds in, is like, you jerk, I'm Derek Jeter.
Oh, man. That was kind of cool. So that helped to set up why he might be a little bit, blackballed by the police world. Mm-hmm. And then Will Ferrell just plays the nerd, the super nerd accountant guy. And you kind of find out a little bit about him later.
And that's a departure for Ferrell, who plays this childish 40 plus year old in all of the other movies that he does with McKay, whether it's Ron Burgundy or one of the brothers and stepbrothers. Obviously, as Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights, he just plays that lovable idiot, too. He's not an idiot in this movie. He certainly has his moments where he does make you laugh, but he's playing more of the straight guy than what we were accustomed to with Will Ferrell at this time.
Yeah. Seeing the interaction between the two of them was, it was interesting because I'd seen Wahlberg. I mean, not that he hasn't done comedy. I'm a big fan of Ted. I thought the original Ted movie was good. And Wahlberg was funny there. So I enjoyed watching the two of them go back and forth. I was a little, I'll admit, I was a little sad that the Samuel L. and Rock characters don't exist in this movie any longer. They don't get a long run in the movie. I was kind of looking forward to how that was all going to play. And eventually they're not in the film anymore.
Well, that speaks to one of my all-time favorite comedy scenes.
All right, I was going to get to this. You want to reveal? This is a top tenner for you?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember where I was, the time of day, who I was sitting with the first time I ever saw the scene where The Rock and Sam L. characters are chasing after the diamond thieves, the jewelry store robbers.
I think that's right.
And they chase them to the top of the building. Those guys zipline back down to street level. They cut the zip line, and The Rock and Sam L. look at one another like, you got this, partner? Yeah, we're going to land in those bushes below. And they jump, and you're like, how in the world are they going to do this? How are they going to keep these guys alive? Well, the answer is they don't. They splat hard on the sidewalk. I crack up at that scene every time.
Okay.
I laugh way too hard than what I probably should, but it caught me so off guard the first time that I just relived that memory in my head over and over again every time I watch that scene.
One of my favorite additional lines that comes later, it may even be at the funeral, but they give Mark Wahlberg this line where he turns to Will Ferrell and mentions something about, man, there wasn't even an awning. There weren't even any awnings on the way. Something like that. I thought that was a nice additional line. Because the scene didn't really hit me that same way. Like, it didn't hit me as an uproariously funny moment when it first happened. But sort of the way they dealt with it afterwards had a little bit of funny to it.
Did it surprise you, though?
It completely surprised me. Just like, it was weird.
I think that's my sixth sense of humor. It must be.
It's like McKay and Ferrell got twice in this movie. They used They use someone falling to their death as a joke.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to do in a movie. I'll respect them just for trying it. That scene, and then later on, a scene we've seen hundreds of times in all these movies, the negotiator scene trying to talk the guy down off the ledge. And ultimately, he comes down off the ledge, but it ain't because anybody talked to him.
I think with the first jump to their death scene, a lot of that has to do with those guys are the indestructible heroes.
Right.
We had already seen them in that first scene where they're doing all sorts of crazy things in the car and they end up catching the bad guys and they're defying death left and right. So this is a moment where it's not like they're in a shootout or something else. They just make a really poor decision being way too brazen with their own abilities, and it costs them their lives.
Yeah, I just enjoyed that. I wanted to see where it might go. The scene in the police house after the initial scene of the movie where Samuel L. Jackson and The Rock are, you know, just being complete, you know, type A egomaniacs,
Alpha,
and literally the police chief to do the, all right, who wants to do their paperwork for them? Because they're clearly not going to do it. They're too awesome to do it, you know?
Speaking of police chief, how great was Michael Keaton?
It's a great casting.
As the police chief.
Maybe my favorite casting of the movie. I've tried to determine if there was another one. Outside the main guys, I think that might be my favorite choice that they made. I'm a big Michael Keaton fan. People don't know. If you weren't in that right time period, you don't always think of him as a funny guy. But he can be so funny. And some of the little details that he came up with as the captain was great. The scene later in the movie where he's giving the speech to the people at Bed Bath & Beyond, his second job, that scene, to me, that's going to grow on me really well over time. I thought he delivered that scene really well. That was a funny joke.
His unintentional quoting, or maybe intentional quoting of TLC a couple different points.
That made me think of you.
Yeah.
That made me think of you.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was very good.
They actually did a good job of casting those secondary roles, including Rob Riggle and Damon Wayans Jr., as the cops who are giving Wahlberg and Ferrell crap nonstop.
Riggle's the perfect casting for that.
Yes, he is.
That was great.
You also have Will Ferrell's wife, played by the lovely Eva Mendez.
Yes.
She's just this beautiful, smart, capable, but subservient wife, despite the fact that Will Ferrell is just this pencil-pushing nerd who doesn't seem like he should be getting the hot girl. He has women throwing themselves at him the entire movie, including Christina. That was another highlight. Christina and her husband.
Yeah, the current wife, the former girlfriend, like every woman in his life that runs through the whole show is that all these really hot women.
The female villain.
Find him attractive. Yes, all of them just find him attractive for some reason. That was a funny idea, kind of a funny bit.
Brooke Shields at the Knicks game.
Yes, Brooke Shields at the game. That was cool. But the idea that you'd be married to someone like Eva Mendez and not think that they're smoking hot. That was and then later you find out that's not actually what's going on specifically. But the idea of that was kind of funny. And the way Wahlberg played it was pretty funny. Of like, no, seriously, dude, who is she? What's going on?
Did you like the Gator backstory?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It wasn't as developed as I'd like it to be.
Yeah,
it
they had to rush that one along pretty quickly.
It felt a little attempted, but some of the actual lines, forget about the way it fit into the plot, some of his lines of delivery of when he found out about the baby, the Gator line there, the Gator line to Michael Keaton, those were just by themselves kind of funny. Like Will Ferrell saying those words was funny, kind of all by themselves.
Yeah. What's your favorite scene in this movie? Is it Dirty Mike and the Boys? Is it when they discover the Prius for the first time and the cop gives a rundown on all the different things that they discovered within this Prius under a highway overpass?
That was pretty good. That was good. Man. You know what? I think my favorite scene is the scene where Wahlberg busts up that TV and Ferrell ends up giving him the speech. I enjoyed that scene. I don't know why that scene hit me the right way, but it kind of did. I enjoyed that one where the Will Ferrell character got to kind of spout off. And, you know, when he's like working with you, it's like working with the Hulk. Like that, something about that scene I enjoyed. What about you?
So my favorite scene is obviously The Rock and Sam L. jumping to their deaths. But if I'm having to pick a number two, gosh, I don't know. Will Ferrell and Wahlberg going back and forth about the lion versus the tuna. And he's like, I'm a lion, and I'll eat your ass. And he's like, what are you talking about?
That
We're off the
good.
Coast of Africa here, and you're a lion coming into the water? and me and 30 of my 600-pound tuna buddies get a shot at you. You're in our world now. You just lost that. You didn't think that one would turn that way, did you?
You know what? I think I'm changing my mind. I think that might be it. Because when he ends, when he does all that and then ends it with the, I didn't, how'd that go for you?
And then he pours the coffee on him. And you also have Mark Wahlberg demanding to that he's a peacock and demanding that they let him fly, even though peacocks don't usually fly.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, those are all up there. I got to go with when they actually meet Dirty Mike and the boys. Dirty Mike played by Adam McKay.
Oh, I didn't realize that's who that was.
Dirty Mike and the boys
said that.
Creep up on the Prius thinking they might be able to make some things happen once again, and they shoo them off.
So I read a weird stat here. They used three different Priuses in the movie.
Huh.
One of them, they put a supercharged engine in that was so big, they had to put it in the back seat.
Wow.
So they made a Prius that could absolutely cook for this movie, but they used three different cars. Also, the little detail of, I think he's calling into the precinct at one point, and he says, we're driving a cocaine-covered car.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Just the little details every once in a while in this movie.
America!
Helped it out. Yeah, just...
Did you just scream America before you hit the accelerator?
No. Some of that stuff was pretty good.
Yeah, it's... I'm trying to think of some other highlights from this movie. Overall, it's just, you know, it's a great film. I don't think... It's certainly not the funniest comedy, but I do feel like this has been the underrated comedy in the McKay-Will Ferrell collaborations. Everybody knows that Anchorman is great. Step Brothers is starting to get its proper due, and Talladega Nights as well. I think that was a film that was popular enough that it is good. And even though this movie did make a lot of money in the theaters, I don't hear folks talking about it nearly as much as those other three, but it's right up there. I'd probably rank it a little bit below Anchorman and Step Brothers, but I have it ahead of Talladega Nights.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, see, I was going to ask kind of where it would rank in there. I definitely agree with you on Anchorman and Step Brothers. Step Brothers just has that weird sneaky goodness to it, and this one doesn't quite, to me, get to that level. It made $13.1 million on its first day.
Wow.
Did pretty well at the box office overall. Almost $120 million in North America, and it had such a good first weekend, it knocked Inception out of the number one spot.
How about that?
It was the best week. It had the best weekend run at that point. I could see this movie filling the void of just, you just want to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the, like right now, there's an argument that because of all these serious movies up for Oscars, that's why Kong versus Godzilla is actually getting some like eyeballs on it.
Do you want to see that one?
I do not. But some people want to go in.
No, wait a second. You're a superhero guy. Why wouldn't you want to see that one?
I'm not into that line of the superheroes. That doesn't. Okay. King Kong and Godzilla don't do much for me.
All right.
I've never been into either one of those. So, but it's just like you want to go, and it's the reason that my girls and I will get excited for like a Fast and Furious movie. Let's just go see some cars wreck and people get shot, and you will just lose, you know, forget about stuff. It's the reason I went to see the Odenkirk movie. I knew I wasn't going to see, you know, The Godfather.
You're just going for that sensory candy.
Yeah, and that, I think, is what maybe this movie gave people. I want to go laugh. I want to go have a good time. So that part was good. When I dialed down on this movie a little bit, I have some little critiques of kind of where this movie to me, to let you know kind of where I'm headed here, this movie to me had some of the feeling that I had with Pineapple Express.
Mm.
The parts were good. The bits were good. I thought they had more bits than they had a movie, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
By the end of it, I just didn't think the full drawn-out idea was as good as all the little parts, because the casting was cool, and individual parts, I liked the, you know, it's like I liked the bit, but then when the full process, to borrow Brad's word, comes through, it was
That's unfortunate.
Wasn't quite, like, again, it didn't hit the Step Brothers level for me.
I think you're right about that.
Didn't quite get there.
Another funny scene, bad cop.
That was good. Yeah, right, that was good when you came.
What, I thought you said bad cop.
That's a good cop. Oh, yeah. No, that was good. It was a movie that definitely let Will flip out.
Okay, so
great.
Based on your criticism, what are you giving this one, 1 to 10?
All right, so I'm going to end up agreeing with, I saw a Rotten Tomato score of 78%, and
whoa,
I saw a B- grade. I'm going 8.0 on the other guys. I liked it. I thought it was good. I just didn't think it came together. The Mark Wahlberg character had a little bit too much Billy Madison to him where they couldn't figure out how smart or dumb he was supposed to be. I didn't like that.
I think they needed to tone down the dumb just a little bit.
They weren't connecting things like I thought they should. They weren't fully explaining to me what was going on. Mm-hmm. And again, like the scene you're talking about, when those two guys hit the pavement, like, if you're going to do that, I don't know, it was weird. It was like, that can't be just a accidental moment and you don't really, like, really, we got to get into that if you're going to do it. But it didn't, I don't know, it just didn't quite land the way I wanted it to. So I'll give them the B minus. It'll probably grow on me as time goes by. But my first time through, a little disappointed. I'll give it a B.
Wow, okay. I was going to give it an 8.75 until I remember the desk pop scene. And even though, yeah, the story may not have been as cohesive as we would have liked, ultimately, I think there are enough funny moments that I'm still giving it that A grade.
All right.
Give me a solid 9.
9, going 9.0. All right, the desk pop. And Rob Riggle helped that scene out.
Yeah.
He's a great bully.
Yep.
He really is a great bully because you somehow like him and you hate yourself for liking him. But that scene, and then when Wahlberg comes in, no, that's not a thing.
Alan, I just completed my first desk pop.
That is not a thing, when he says, but they were so convincing in their argument. again, the little ideas in this movie were good. Just as when it all connected together, I didn't quite have that same feeling. But I would give it another shot. If it's on, I'll rewatch some of it and check it out. The Other Guys, 2010 was our movie today.